Sometimes when we're doing what we know we should be doing, we're doing what we know God has asked us to do or told us to do, there are times that we feel like maybe we should just lay down our armor and say, I just can't go any further. I can't ask another prayer request. I can't give another tract. I just don't know that I can do any more. And this morning, I'd like to show you what happens, some of what can happen when we do and some of what happens when we don't. We're going to begin reading here in the book of Luke first to find out why the book is written, get some background, and then jump into the text regarding Zechariah and Elizabeth. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Here's why the book is written: to retell what men believed, that they had already seen, were eyewitnesses of. They knew it completely, and they were doing it so that other people here in the book of Luke, here's Theophilus who's receiving this letter, that you can know the same things we know. And isn't that what soul winning is? I know with certainty that my life was changed. I know with certainty that God speaks out of this book and teaches me things. I know with certainty areas of weakness and sinfulness in my life have been affected by simple Bible truth. I know that. I've been an eyewitness of it in my home. I've been an eyewitness of it in churches. I have seen it, and I know completely that it's true. So then I need to make sure that other people know that it's true. And many men of God were moved to write down the things that are in the Scripture so that we could know those things that are true. That is the foundation to the book of Luke, simply to share the gospel. It's a gospel presentation. That's what the book of Luke is. I know the gospel, so you should know the gospel. A gospel presentation of the death of Christ for us. Verse number 5, the background details here. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Israel, at one time, those of you who have studied the Bible for many years, at one time Israel was a great kingdom. God had said he would bless Israel, and he was blessing Israel. And under King Saul, there was some difficulties. But when David took the throne, David, through the wars that God gave him, expanded the kingdom of Israel and expanded the land and got to the place that when he handed over the kingdom to his son Solomon, the nation of Israel was at a time of peace where they were very, very wealthy and they had lots and lots of land. But under King Solomon's son Rehoboam, what happened? The nation was divided. And Rehoboam took a small portion of the kingdom because God promised it to David's seed. And Jeroboam took another portion. Jeroboam had that which was in the north. We would call it Israel, with a capital in Samaria. Rehoboam had the south, Judah, with a capital in Jerusalem. The Bible here says that Herod was king of Judea. That doesn't say Judah. It says Judea. Judea was an even smaller portion than what Judah was. And why was Herod the king? Herod is the king. He is chosen by Rome. At this time, Israel is no longer the great kingdom they were under David. Israel is under the authority of Rome. And Rome has chosen a leader that is going to rule in that region. Now that's a key element to the study of the book of Luke or any of the Gospels, and that is this: Israel was not right then, at this time, enjoying all the blessings that God had promised them. There were things that they wanted, things that God said they should have, things that they could be looking forward to, but they were not right then enjoying all that blessing. They did not have all the promises God had given to them, and they were waiting for what? A deliverer. They were really looking at the Old Testament and seeing that there was going to come someday a man who would sit on the throne, someone that would throw off in their minds the shackles of Rome and give them freedom again so that they could enjoy prosperity. Now the Bible says, this is where Israel is. The Bible says they were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. Then the Bible tells us that his wife's name was Elizabeth. Let me give you a couple more background details. Found in the Old Testament, who was the first priest or high priest that God chose for the nation of Israel as he took them out of Egypt? Aaron was. And when Aaron had sons, the Bible describes to us that he had 4 sons. But 2 of his sons were evil. So he had 2 more sons. Now, there was 1 priest, then 2 sons. And so those sons began to have sons, and the family began to grow and get rather large. And by the time David is king, there are so many descendants from Aaron's line that David did something. David divided up the priestly families of Ithamar and Eleazar, I believe, and he divided them into 24 groups and said, in those 24 groups, we will divide you. There will not just be 1 priest from 1 family. There will be priests that will serve, and they will have a rotating schedule. We do for our snack on Wednesday. We do for our cleaning in the church. Nobody does it every week. We share that responsibility. Well, that was what was taking place here. Because the tribe and the family had grown so big, it had been divided by King David, and still Zechariah is serving now under what King David had done in his course, or in his time when it was right for him to do. Now, what about Zechariah? We find here, number one, his service, and that is he is in the ministry of the priestly line. He is a priest, but why is he a priest? We just mentioned it, but I want you to think on it. He's a priest because of his birth. This is what he was born into. This is what he was to do. Now, notice his character. And the Bible says, and they, that is Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Wouldn't you like that testimony of you? Somebody could say of you at some point in your life that you were blameless, as it were, regarding all the rules that God gave. These people were persevering in doing what God said. These people had a character. The Bible says they were righteous, but the Bible also tells us that this couple had a dilemma. Most of you already know it. We'll read it here in the text. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, why is the dilemma so important, and why is his office so important? They were like Abraham and Sarah, beyond the years of being able to have a child. We could note something that I think needs to be noted. Not every time that we miss out on getting something that is good, is it because of sin? We need to remind ourselves that. We studied the life of Job at one time, and when we go through that, we remember, okay, yeah, not everybody that suffers is suffering because of sinfulness. The Bible just said, as it does of Job, the man was blameless. He was upright. The Bible here says these two were righteous, and they were blameless in keeping what God said, and yet God still withheld from them something that the Bible says is a blessing of the Lord. Isn't it good to have children? Isn't it good to raise them up and to teach them the things of God? Isn't it a blessing to see life continue? Yes. Should we note this as well, that as we serve God, we will not always have all the things that we might desire. There are some things God will withhold from us, even as his children. Why would God do that? I want to give you one glimpse into why God might do that as we look at this text. I want you to consider this text this morning, that God works in our lives personally. He's dealing with each one of us to teach us what each one of us needs to know, but he also deals in our lives in a corporate fashion as he deals with the whole world. God was waiting for just the right time to send this couple a child. What was that child going to do? He's going to be a preacher who's going to prepare the way for Jesus. It had to come at just the right time, because Jesus was going to come at just the right time. This couple was waiting and waiting and waiting, and God was dealing with them, and God was working on them, and they continued to wait on God, and God was also dealing with the entire world. Think about this. Sometimes God delays your answer, not just because he wants to work on you, but there are other things that God has in plan. Our lives are not the only lives in the world. And sometimes we get a little selfish and inwardly focused on ourselves. And sometimes that's the reason we want to quit, because we've spent too much time looking at how it all affects me rather than how it fits into God's greater plan. They had a dilemma. But I want you to ask the question I asked it. What value does that have? What value does Zechariah and Elizabeth's dilemma have for me? Read with me if you would. I'm going to read aloud. You follow along. We're going to read verses 10 down to verse 25 and then find three simple principles. The Bible says, and the whole multitude of the people, while Zechariah is inside, were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, unto Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he, John, shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the power, the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, no longer able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. God spoke to Zechariah when? While he was serving, number one. Zechariah wanted, don't you want affirmation from God that you're doing the right thing? Don't you want affirmation from God that the desires of your heart are right desires? Zechariah got that while he was serving God. God spoke to Zechariah, number two, while he was praying. He said, thy prayer is heard. He hadn't stopped praying. He hadn't stopped serving. And God spoke to Zechariah, number three, in fulfillment of his word, or fulfilling his word. Two of those things are personal. That is, Zechariah was still serving, Zechariah was still praying, but God was fulfilling something he had promised to the nation of Israel. That is a corporate answer to prayer. Sometimes the things you're waiting on are going to affect everybody in the church. Sometimes the things you're waiting on are going to affect everybody in your family. Does it affect a family when a young person begins praying about a spouse? Does that affect a family? When that person finally finds the one they think they're going to marry, does it change the makeup of a home? Does it change the makeup of a home when a child or a young person finds a college to go to? Does it change or influence a church or a home when people choose a job that they're going to work at? I mean, all of these decisions that we make, sometimes we're on our knees asking God, what should I do? Or we're praying for God to answer. Sometimes God delays because the answer needs to come at the right time, not just for our growth and benefit, but also for the benefit of everybody that's around us. Now watch if we were to take what I just said and show the contrast to these things. God spoke while he was serving, while he was praying, and in fulfillment of his word. Are there not many reasons to quit serving God? Doesn't our flesh come up with lots of reasons that we could quit serving God? Aren't there lots of reasons that we could quit praying to God? Aren't there lots of reasons that we could doubt God? There's lots of reasons we could, but none of them are good. None of them produce a good result. But there are lots of reasons. Look at the text with me. Zechariah continued to serve even though there were reasons that he could have quit. Consider the text. God had not given him what he had prayed for. The Bible says, verse 7, and they had no children. Why did they have no children? Because Elizabeth was barren. Who opens and closes the womb? God does. So they're praying, God, we want a child. The one who can open and close the womb says, no. The Bible says here in verse number 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. That is, Zechariah, you've kept praying for something that God hasn't let you have yet, and now, in answer to your prayer, so we know what his prayer was, I want a child for my wife. I want to raise a baby. I want to have someone that I can give a name to and then teach the truth of God. Many quit. Many along the way have quit when they didn't think God was answering their prayers. You know, they get started praying. They're praying for something in their church. They're praying for something in their home. They're praying for something in their family. And it just seems like God is not hearing them. They say, look, if God doesn't even hear and answer prayer anymore, then I'm done. I quit serving. I don't want to be involved in something where my heart's going to get broken because God doesn't answer prayer. Others quit when the way gets hard. Does it ever get hard to serve God? Sure it does. If you pick a path to follow based on this book, the Bible's going to give you instruction as to how to live. You pick that path, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be standing there with a whole lot of people. You're going to hear the word of God, and you're going to say, I got to give that up. And everybody's standing around you. And you say, I'm going to give that up. And you start walking, pretty soon you're going to be walking all by yourself because not everybody is willing to obey this book. And then it's going to get hard. Because you know what? Sometimes it gets long. In the earthly sense. It's just hard sometimes. Sometimes the work God gives us to do doesn't have results right away. You know, I like to plant a seed and eat fruit the next day, but that's not what the Bible tells us happens. You plant, you water, you care for. They were faithful to the work that God had given. Even though the lot in life or the path that God chose for them, many would call unfair. The husband and wife, now well up in years, had no children. I've observed in my years, which are very few, and you've probably observed them in yours, that when a family, a husband and a wife, cannot have a child, it's a very difficult pill to swallow. It's a very difficult set of situations and circumstances for a husband and a wife to endure. And when Mother's Day rolls around and Father's Day rolls around, those couples grieve and struggle in themselves. And many times, people who have children carelessly say things that stir up that hurt. I've known evangelists and missionaries that beg God for years to give them children. And the rejoicing that came at the end when God gave some of them children is just unlike the rejoicing that a couple has even when they get married and have a child in that first year. They have begged and pleaded for so long. You know that it's hard if you read the book of 1 Samuel. Hannah was tormented by the fact that she could not have a child. Their inability was a result of God's hand. Understand this, the fact they couldn't have a baby was because God didn't let them. God is sovereign, and the things we lack or the things we gain come or are removed at His hand. Some people look at what God chooses for them, and when they look at what God chooses for them, they become discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged by what God chooses for you? But the next step is the problem step. If you become discouraged, you need to get back and find hope in God and get back to doing what He says. But some will become discouraged, and then they will become unwilling to be used by God. Look, if this is what serving God is going to bring into my life, I'm done. I'm not going to keep serving God if I've got to go without having children. I don't want to keep serving God if I've got to go after the loss of one of my children. I don't want to serve God anymore if it means that I've got to go on when some of my friends have quit. I don't want to go on serving God if... And the hurt is intense. I know it is. But Zechariah was still faithfully serving God when God spoke to him. Now, as I said that in myself, I understood this, that his job was won by birth. And so part of me wanted to say, yeah, but Zechariah didn't have a choice. You know, he had to do that. I get a choice. He didn't. Well, I want you to think about this. Did King David, as a king, did he have a choice whether he ruled or not? Sure he did. And one day, the Bible says, when kings go out to war, What does it say of David? He stayed home. And what happened when King David chose not to continue serving in the role that God had given him? He got tangled up in sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And you know, when he preached, God told him ahead of time, people aren't going to listen to you, Jeremiah, but you're going to go preach anyway. And Jeremiah got to the place, Jeremiah 20, verse number 9, where he got so frustrated with the ministry God had given him, he said, I tried to keep my mouth quiet and not speak your word anymore, but your word burned in me like a fire. And I had to open my mouth and let it out. Then Jeremiah was a prophet, called by God, told that was what you're going to do. Called by God, given the ability to speak. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But he had to. Elijah did the same thing. Prophet of God, called of God. Yet when God had given him a great victory on Mount Carmel, what did he decide to do? He said, I think I'm going to quit now. Did God let him quit? He tried. He ran away. He said, God, just let me die. And God said, no, Elijah, let's eat. Let's rest. And then Elijah, I've got some more work for you to do. God doesn't want his people to quit, though there are many reasons why we could quit, many things that might tempt us to quit. But if we're going to follow Zechariah's example, let's go back to the last series of messages on basic doctrines. We're saved, then we follow the Lord in baptism, in obedience, and then what comes after that? We begin to work. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, in verse 10 it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works. There's things God has already chosen before we ever got saved that He wants us to do. Now, Zechariah was a priest by birth. You are a servant of God by birth. The Bible says, aren't we born again? All right, so now I'm His child. I'm adopted into His family. I can call Him Father. I have been able to become a son of God. So then you don't really have a choice to quit, do you? Yet sometimes we do. Sometimes the pressures, the stresses, the difficulties mount up on us. And you know what? I want to be one who hears God and gets the answers to the things I've prayed for. I want to get those things. But I need to keep serving. God spoke while He was serving. I want you to notice as well that Zechariah continued to pray. The answer in verse 13 that the angel gave, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Now, there are many reasons why people might stop praying. There was a reason they might have stopped praying here in the text. The Bible tells us that they were now well stricken in years. What does that mean? It's a polite way of saying they were old. Their bodies were past the ability, as man would look at it, to have a child. Now, this is how sometimes we pray. God, I need $50. And that woman there with the yellow dress, I know she's got $50 in her purse. So God, I need $50. Would you supply my $50? And I pray based on what I know is around me. Then this woman with the $50 walks out the door and goes out and I say, well, no use praying now because there's no way for me. I mean, the only one in the building that had any money was that woman right there and she just walked out. There's no use. We look at physical limitation as an excuse to stop praying. There are many people, as old as they are, that would have said, look, I guess we prayed long enough. There's no choice, chance that we're going to have any children now. So let's stop praying. But did they stop praying? No. They kept waiting on God and saying, God, with you all things are possible. It could happen. God, please give us a child. Do finances, age, location, background, difficulties. I mean, how many of us have tried to get victory? I'll use those words, tried to get victory and failed at some point in our life. I wanted to get victory over something in my life. I made some attempt at it and I failed. And I had prayed and prayed before that. And I finally said, you know what? Maybe I just can't have that kind of victory in that area of my life. That's foolishness. But we look at the physical circumstances of where we've been or what we've already gone through and say, look, I just throw my hands up. I can't have that. There's no point in praying for it anymore. All hope is not gone when God is still on the throne. All hope is not gone when God is still on the throne. So everybody leaves the building and there's no hope for me to get my $50. I was staying down in my wife's grandmother's house across the street from her before we got married. Her father let me graciously stay there. And while I was in the house working at helping to get some things ready, they were going to begin remodeling that house, I was moving some things around and I found an envelope under the carpet. It was a bank envelope. And there was still money in it. Well, I took the envelope up to her father and he said, well, if you found it, you can have it. There wasn't anybody in the house. The house had been deserted. As far as that's concerned, nobody was living there until I came in. But there was still money there. Eddie Roberts tells a story of a little girl he invited to go to church, and the dad said, if she gets a pair of shoes, Eddie, she could go to church. And Eddie went home in his mobile home, I think, went in, looked in the closet, and there was a pair of shoes just the right size for that little girl. Now, Eddie didn't put them there. God had put them there. Did God put them there that day? Don't know. I don't know when God put them there, but God knew a man was going to be in that house and a girl was going to be nearby that needed to go to church. And that the only thing that would hinder it was a pair of shoes. And so God, now, how many of you, just looking at Eddie Roberts even now or 15, 20 years ago, would say, boy, that man probably has little girl shoes at home. Eddie's not married. He's never had any children that he was raising that he could, I stashed some, you guys might have some shoes lying around. You know, you might be a family that I would walk up, my wife, yeah, I might think she likes to save things in case we have another child or somebody comes along. But a single man? The physical limitation is not what limits God. All hope is not gone when God is still on the throne. Zechariah kept serving, Zechariah kept praying, but I want you to notice, even so, sometimes we pat ourselves on the back at this point, I'm serving God, I'm still praying. Zechariah doubted when God gave an answer. The Bible says in verse number 18, Zechariah asked the question, whereby shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel said, I've come from God. Verse 20, he said, behold, thou shalt be dumb or not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, I've heard people try to break apart Zechariah's words and compare them with Mary's words. And Mary's words and Zechariah's words are very similar. Mary was told about having a baby, and she said, how shall these things be since I know not a man? She asked a question, Zechariah asked a question. So how come Zechariah doesn't believe? Belief is something that happens in the heart. And the angel looked at Zechariah and said, I can tell you don't believe what I've said. He doubted. Aren't there many reasons that we could doubt God? How long had it been, as the angel begins to speak to Zechariah, how long had it been since Israel had received word from God directly? 400 years. We call them the silent years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where they were waiting. God had predicted a deliverer. God had said he would send a Messiah. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing from God. And now this man, in there doing his service, having prayed and prayed and prayed and begged God for a baby, never gotten one, an angel stands there and says, hey, it's done. I'm going to give you what you asked for. And wasn't there a reason you should doubt 400 years? Nobody heard from God. They were waiting for a deliverer right now. They didn't have their own king. They had one given to them by Rome. Right now, they had enough things around them that they could have doubted. It would be easy for you and it would be easy for me to add up all the wrong things in our life and begin to doubt God. Say, you know what? This didn't work out the way I wanted. This didn't turn out the way I expected. This isn't what people told me it would be like. My preacher said it would be this way and it isn't. And you know what? I just don't believe what it says anymore. I don't believe it when he tells me something should happen in my life. I just don't believe it anymore. I don't think, when I add up all these things in my life, sometimes a believer might even say, I don't think God is going to do anything about this one. I've come to a place of doubting. I don't think God cares about this anymore. Let me remind you, God always keeps his word. God can always be trusted, so don't quit trusting him. Sadly, when I think about this story, it mirrors to me what God's word says about personal victory for the child of God. Is victory over sin in our lives possible? Is it what God intends? Is it the way we live? As I mentioned earlier, you're sitting in church one day, you're sitting in your Bible study one day, and God comes down to you and says, this area of sin needs to be gotten rid of. And I'm able. I can help. So there in your private time, in your heart, you agree with God and say, God, I need to deal with that. You get up and there's an excitement. You know, when God stirs your heart, you get kind of excited. And you get ready to go out to do something and you go out and you fail. Maybe that wasn't God speaking. But not very long after that, you're in a service or you're driving down the road and catch a preacher on the radio or someone invites you to a special service and you hear it again and God says again, he kind of sticks a poker in your heart. You say, yeah, I know God. I should take care of that. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do that. And you fail. And then you begin to wonder in your heart, says thanks be to God who's given us the victory, but I'm not so sure he's given it out to me. Sure, I know Becky Arms, when she got saved, she quit smoking, and she hadn't smoked for, I think it's 40 years now. But then I can't have that same victory. Oh, sure, I know there are some people who are kind of shy, and then, you know, they surrender to God, and God gives them boldness to go soul winning, but I just can't have that victory. Why not? Well, I've never known it. And since I haven't known it yet, I doubt God's promise that I could have it in the future. Believer, don't stop trusting God. When he says victory is possible, when he says provision is at his hand, Zechariah and Elizabeth wanted an answer from God, and they received it as they continued obediently in God's service, but he doubted. Let's go back to what we started with. God was dealing with them in a personal way. They needed to learn to wait. Doesn't patience provide and produce something? The trying of your faith produces patience, and patience, what does patience do? Patience just wears me out, preacher. No, patience produces a maturing, complete believer. Patience is part of God's plan to make us what he wants us to be. And God was working that in Zechariah and Elizabeth, while he was preparing the nation of Israel to receive their coming Messiah. It was just about ready. Zechariah and Elizabeth had to hold on just a little longer. How many of you have read of any of the revivals that God has done throughout the years? Have you ever read any of the stories of the great revivals in Ireland or Scotland or England or in America? You know, those things, many people had already given up. Many people have said, God doesn't speak anymore. God doesn't move anymore. And somebody got convicted that when you get on your knees along with God and you persist in it, God will give an answer. And God, most of those that I have ever read about were the result of a group of people who gathered together and regularly did this one thing. Pray. That God alone with God. And they begged God. It wasn't that they were always doing, taking up an offering every few hours. No, that wasn't what stirred God's heart. What was it that stirred God's heart? To move. Stay faithful in prayer. And the stories of those revivals, they will amaze your heart and your mind that God would come down out of heaven and stir whole towns by his Holy Spirit into a conviction about sin. Will God speak? I don't know if he's going to, but I know he could. If God's people would do what he's always asked them to do, simply humble yourself and keep waiting on me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he makes a promise. And he shall strengthen thine heart. If we'll wait, he'll work. If we'll trust, he'll come through. If we'll pray, he'll answer. Even when we're not currently enjoying all the things we think maybe we should have as a believer, don't quit. Keep praying, keep serving, keep trusting, because God may be right on the verge of breaking through to give an answer like you've never received before. Call unto me, God says, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The lady with the money just walked out the doors. Keep praying. I'm going to show you something I've never done before, you've never thought of, because I want you just to trust me.